Welcome to Is Anybody Listening? Episode 5. We are your hosts. I'm Kerry Hooper.
I'm Cleo.
And we're happy to be back this week recording. Sunday for us, Tuesday for you. So this week we're doing Gojira, which is actually one of my favorite, not just metal bands, but bands of all time ever. Fucking love Gojira. Have you checked them out, babe?
You know, 15 minutes ago.
This is why we need a camera. Because her face said everything before the words said anything. Oh my god.
No, we don't need a camera. It's fine.
Yeah, so I've been listening to Gojira for probably 3 or 4 years. I'm a little late getting into them, but I'm real happy I found them. I mean, behind like Queens of the Stone Age and maybe something else, they're in my top 5 for sure.
Don't you kind of love bands like moments like that when you find a band that's already put out such a a huge amount of work, and then you don't have to, like, you're not waiting, you're not anticipating for like the album coming out next, and you get all of that time, and you get all of that time just to really dig into the work that they've done.
Yeah.
I love that. When you just discover bands and they're new to you, but they're not new to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's just a really exciting feeling.
Yeah. So before we get into the podcast, I received an email today in my business account, not in my personal account. It says it's from Margart Mann, M-A-H-N. And then it's marman41@hotmail.com. However, it says...
Hotmail.
He uses Hotmail.
1999?
And it also then says, good evening, my name is Olga. So, immediate red flag. And no, I'm not having a stroke. You're not having a stroke. The words I'm about to read, this is how they are written. I decided search myself human. I want my boyfriend to be a gentleman and treat me well.
Well, that seems fair.
That seems fair. I constantly meet bad people on the internet and life. I would like to have acquainted with a decent man with whom I can to plan about the future and be truly loved woman. I am young woman. I am 29 number of years.
He's younger than me.
I'm 29 numbers. Oh. I do not have son, and I have never been married. Or no, I have never been is married. No red flags yet?
I don't know. This is like a really, this is really, like, I don't know.
And you know what?
This is confusing.
It wasn't in my spam folder.
Oh.
It wasn't in my updates. It wasn't in my promotions. It was in my primary. Nothing gets in there. I don't know how this made it through. Anyway, I work haircuts master.
What?
I work haircuts master. One sentence. Period. And I wanted to become a master about this profession since childhood. I have few friends or relatives. Jesus Christ. What is this? What is this? I turned in brides and there I sent your email. What? I turned in brides, and there I sent your email.
Oh, boy. I don't know what that means.
I write to you for a long time, did not dare, and finally decided write you. Capital right. Capital W on the right. I do not know why I am writing for you. Just me, interesting, find a man, and get closer. No, and get to know you closer. I think we can become friends. Man, I'm going to write a song with this as lyrics. If you would be interested to know a person from another country, period. Maybe you'd tell me more about yourself, where you live, who you work. Do you have any pets or junior? Do you have any pets or junior? Have you ever been married? I'll wait for an answer. Olga. Anyways, so welcome to the podcast. I just had to. That made me laugh really hard today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So Gojira are a French metal band from Bayonne, France, formed by brothers Joe and Mario Duplantier. Joe is on the lead vocals, and Mario is on drums and backing vocals. So they originally called themselves Godzilla when they formed in 1996, but they actually had to change their name due to a legal dispute in 2001. This was with another band of the same name, and I actually couldn't find where that band exactly is or who they are. I guess I should have just looked up Godzilla.
I'm still Godzilla. Not 100% certain that it's not just because there's that song called Godzilla.
Oh, right. But some legal dispute anyways. That's basically what I figured out. So the band consists of the two brothers that I just mentioned, and that would be Joe Duplantier on lead vocals and guitars, and Mario on drums and backing vocals. The band also has guitarist Christian Andrew, well, in French, I'm sure pronounced way nicer than that, and bassist Jean-Michel Labadie. I think that was pretty close.
That was very good.
I'm really bad at French. It. Yeah, nice. I probably passed off as French, or at least knowing it. I mispronounce every language so bad that any podcast I've ever done in the past, and I go back and listen, I don't even upload. I'm like, that is so embarrassing. Anyways.
I think that's normal.
Yeah. This is why it's going to be nice to hire an editor at some point.
I mean, if we get there.
If. So that's all the original members of the band, but when they changed their name, they actually switched some members, but
okay.
We may or may not get into that later. So they have 6 studio albums, 3 live DVDs, and they're known for environmentally activist lyrics, but in an interview, Joe said that they don't consider themselves like environmentalists or activists. But all their lyrics are hardcore about the environment, like, and, like...
Oh, weird.
Well...
So then what's his motivation for
He just says he doesn't like labels. He says, I'm not a... He says, it's just common sense. We have to treat our planet. You know what I mean?
Okay.
He totally believes in...
No, I know. It's just... Yeah. I, when people are like, I don't like labels, it's like, yeah, but that's what you are.
Sort of. He says,
if
like...
you feel passionately about the... Like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with some labels.
But there's people who are like... Oh, I'll go join an environmentalist group and protest or whatever. And that's cool. And then there's this guy, and he's like, well, yeah, it's just, this is the message I like putting out.
Mm-hmm. It
doesn't make me this or that. But anyways, anywho, they were a death metal band for most of that time. And now they're like progressive and modern metal and technical metal. And, like, technical death metal's leading powerhouse. Gojira's at the top top of the game, man. Lamb of God singer Randy Blythe said it was the best metal band of the day.
I read in their Wikipedia page 2 minutes before this started that they have groove metal influences.
What
the fuck is that?
Groove metal is Lamb of God or Pantera, stuff like that, like slower... And in an interview, Mario actually said that he likes the term groove metal. He's like, let's just go with that. I think it sounds cool. But
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that? No.
And I've listened to metal, like, or whatever. Like, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But I've never heard the term groove metal.
But basically, I saw 2 interviews. One, the earlier one, where he said, yeah, we used to be more death metal, and now we're going more towards progressive metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw one after where he's like, oh, I said that? He was like, I don't know, let's just go with groove metal. So obviously, they're in the same boat. They don't really care what people call them and what they just write what they want, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And then, like everyone else, they get pigeonholed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they've been Grammy nominees for Best Rock Album for Magma in 2016 and for Best Performance for the single in Silvera in 2016.
Did they win?
That's a typo. No, they did not. They were just nominated.
Oh.
The drummer did win an award. We'll get to that later, too.
Ooh.
So the first major release was Terra Incognita. I think it was 96, yeah. So, that's not right. In 96, Gojira was formed by Joe and Mario, Christian, and Alexander Cormelian. So that's the guy who I don't think is in it anymore, in their hometown of Andres. I definitely didn't say that right. Gojira's music combines elements of death metal, groove metal. See, there it is.
Aha, Wikipedia strikes again.
It was strikes. Hey, this isn't Wikipedia. This is my...
That's where I got it from, so none of this is intelligent truth.
Well, we'll leave it up to the listeners to decide. In the comment section, guys, vote below. Who's lying? You're going to decide who's telling the truth and who's full of shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. thrash metal and progressive metal. And like I said, in interviews, they basically say the same thing. We just keep making music, it evolves, and now it's, you know, this or that. We don't know what to call it. They started touring and recording under the name Godzilla and released their demos Victim, Possess, Saturate, and Wisdom in 96, 97, 99, and 2000, respectively. So Victim was released in 96, Possess was released in 97, Saturate in 99, and Wisdom in 2000, sorry. And I have not heard any of that, and I must.
Oh.
I have to hear that. There's no way the recording quality is too bad on the 2001, maybe not even 99 one.
Hmm.
I would think the first two probably
not so great.
Are low budget, but I want to hear it. And you're into grindcore, so you don't care about low budget, right? Am I right?
It's true, I guess.
Yeah.
It's all about the passion, you know?
Yeah. So after touring for a while, they were supporting Cannibal Corpse, Edge of Sanity, Impaled Nazarene, and Immortal in 1999. And then they just changed their name, so we've already talked about that. So Terra Incognita was then released under the new name of Gojira in 2001.
Cool and beans.
Then they went to The Link, and then From Mars to Sirius, and that was from 2003 to 2007.
This is from Wikipedia.
No.
It is.
It is not a copy-paste.
Did you just have a blackout series when you were putting this together?
No.
Okay.
I wrote this with my own two hands, okay?
Okay. I believe you.
Ugh. Donate to Wikipedia, by the way, people. I'm not kidding. I always say at the end of our podcast to donate to us, but actually, go donate to Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, do it.
Yeah, you have to.
We need it. Everybody in this world needs it.
Yeah. Wikipedia has been around since the internet was a kid.
Do you remember when it first came out and people were having that debate where it's like, just anybody can go on the web and edit something. How can you believe any of it?
Yeah.
And
well, you still have to be careful with Wikipedia.
Yeah, totally. But it's like, I think it didn't go the way that people assumed it would go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the band released The Link in 2003. And then it was reissued in 2007 with remastered audio and a new booklet artwork. They made a DVD in Bordeaux, produced by Gabriel Editions. And since 2004, The Link Live has been on sale in France. In 2005, Gojira decided to sign with Listenable Records. And this is where the beginning of the beginning.
Oh, that's a record label.
Yeah, that's the beginning of the beginning for them. They signed with Listenable Records, a French-based company, because they were so big that they thought it could give them some exposure outside of France with their new album called From Mars to Sirius that they were working on. They continued to support bands like Amon Amarth, Sanctity, Trivium, and Children of Bodom from 2006 to 2007, along with Annihilator and Lamb of God. They supported Lamb of God on their 2007 American tour, along with Trivium and Machine Head. So that was, I believe, their second time supporting Trivium. And in late 2007, they took part in the Radio Rebellion Tour, featuring co-headliners Behemoth! Job for a Cowboy.
I don't know that one.
You don't know Job for a Cowboy?
No.
What the fuck? That's like, Job for a Cowboy is OG, grindy...
No.
Low budget.
I've never...
Oh, you know what? I don't care if we get a copyright strike right now. I mean, right now, we're listening to Job for a Cowboy.
Okay.
No, you have to hear this. And for the audio listeners, this might not sound too great for you, but...
Koi Boy?
Oh, yeah, totally... Here, this is the song, Entomb from a Machine, or Entombment of a Machine.
Oh, an ad.
Yeah, good thing it's muted. Oh, it might not play. I might have to fix the settings because we're doing our recording thing.
I don't think this is gonna work.
You can tell they have a style that stretches through all their albums, even though their sound evolves.
Yeah, it's pretty dope, actually.
Yeah, man, that guy's a human drumming machine. He's amazing.
Yeah, from like, I mean, I have listened to some Gojira, not a lot.
Yeah.
But the drumming is pretty outstanding.
Yeah. Listenable Records released the album on the 13th of October, and that was for Europe. And in North America, it was done through Prosthetic Records on the 14th. So that was in 2008. And in July of 2008, they announced the track listing and revealed the final cover art for the record. Joe stated that the album is a lot darker and more violent.
Ooh.
The music would be more intense, more brutal, and more melodic than its predecessor. That the theme is more about death itself and the immortality of the soul. That's the main subject for us.
That's deep.
Yes. So Randy Blythe was on a song, Adoration for None, on the album. So he's Lamb of God Screamer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised that he really took to the band, because Lamb of God had the same thing going where they carved out their own sound and it evolved, but they still sounded like Lamb of God.
I don't like Lamb of God, so...
I understand that. I really do, actually. Yeah, so on March 29th, the band's first North American headlining tour was announced, and they had bands like The Chariot and Carbomb open for them. And actually,
I love that name, Carbomb. Carbomb,
yeah.
Holy fuck.
The drummer from Carbomb actually helped Joe build their new recording studio, but we'll talk about that later,
nice.
Too. Yeah.
What a nice person.
What a nice man. Then Gojira accompanied Metallica on their tour from 14th of September to the 18th of October.
Ugh.
Performing before Lamb of God. You gotta realize that's an incredible opportunity.
I absolutely understand why that means so much, mm-hmm. but it doesn't change the fact I don't really like Metallica.
Right.
But good for them, you know?
Yeah, touring with Metallica and Lamb of God on the same tour. Oh, man, I remember wanting to see that show so fucking bad, too.
Oh.
Mm.
I remember being little and wanting to go see shows so bad,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have the money and you're not 19.
Yeah. Yeah. So Logan Mader met with Gojira in Los Angeles. Logan Mader's an amazing producer to start mixing an album where all the proceeds would go towards an anti-whaling organization.
Oh, is that where that whale song came from?
Maybe sort of related.
Did I mess up your segue into that song?
No, I was not segueing at all. I see where you're coming from. I see why you thought I might have been about to start talking about flying whales, but I am not about to start talking about flying whales.
Okay, good. Well, damn, that's awesome.
Yeah. So people like Devin Townsend, Randy Blythe, and people from all these other bands... met up and recorded songs, and they had all, I forget how many exactly, but they had a bunch of songs ready for the album. It just needed some more work or whatever. The hard drive crashed.
Oh my God.
I know! It's the worst.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the worst. It's crazy that that happened, man. And Logan Mader is an amazing, like, mixer and producer, too. So I bet those songs were so dope.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy that that happened, eh?
That is... That feels bad.
Yeah, I tried to find, like, something about this in an interview on YouTube, and I could not find it. But, yeah. It's so many people, too, dude. Anders Frieden, Jonas Renske, Max Cavalera.
Cool.
Yeah, man. So many people.
Can you just imagine? It will... You'll never get that back.
Yeah, it was called the Sea Shepherd EP. Yeah. And, they released The Blood and Salt in May 2001 as a preview from it, but I think that was the only song that really, you know, is fucked up, man. Like,
it's a big old bummer.
Yeah. Devin Townsend and Frederick Norton are on Of Blood and Salt. And there's actually another song they did with Frederick Thornhill from Meshuggah. And, oh my God, who's the other person? This is killing me.
Do you want me to do the Jeopardy countdown?
Yes. Frederick Thornhill, and I can't fucking remember. I lose. All right. Now, this is my third favorite album by Gojira is L'Enfant Sauvage. L'Enfant Sauvage.
That sounds right.
Which is epically mispronounced by interviewers, and it's hilarious, and I've seen him stop interviewers and go, I'll just say it for you, basically. It is pretty funny. So this is, I said, when they got signed to Listenable Records was the beginning of the beginning. When they get signed to Roadrunner Records is the beginning of superstardom. Do it. You fucking ape. How dare you?
You have to edit that out. That's awful.
I'm not gonna.
You have to.
Nope.
No one's gonna listen. They're gonna be like, oh, this is the runny nose channel. Could you be any nasalier?
Oh my god.
Nasalier?
So, in English, L'Enfant Sauvage basically translates to wild child, but not as in, like, party animal. As in, raised, like, in the woods, like, you know, uneducated, like, you know. And it's an encapsulated meaning of the French term sauvage, for someone who's not educated, or something that is actually, like, free and free in nature. Like a wildflower, da-da-da.
Cool.
Basically, that's a quote from him.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So, the album was released... No, the single was released on the 27th of April, 2012, along with a video to support it, and was followed by a release of the song Liquid Fire as a free download on Gojira's official website.
Ooh, free.
Listeners, I gotta be 100% honest. I'm basically reading Wikipedia right now.
I knew it!
Yeah.
That's what I said earlier.
Oh, wait, they were supposed to vote on this.
Yes.
I just lost. Wait, maybe they only make it partway through.
You didn't lose. There's no competition if I was right the entire time. It's just a fact. You copied and pasted off of Wikipedia.
No! Yeah, I did.
Who's the ape now?
Me. Help me. She's gonna, like, hurt me later.
What? No.
So in November 2014, the band began constructing a recording studio in Queens, New York City, called Steel... Oh, I can't believe I have to scroll down to... Silver Record Studio. So that was when Mario DePlante moved to New York, and that's why he was working on the studio himself. So that's a good segue to the studio. Before we go to the Magma era, I'm going to jump down to Silver Record Studio. So as I mentioned earlier, it was mostly built by Joe with the help of his brother crew, some friends, a live sound engineer, and the drummer from Carbomb. There's this video on YouTube, an interview about the studio in about 2016. You have to watch it, especially if you are a musician or into recording, because it's so cool, man. They have like these pads, like four or six pads that can lower over different musicians, and it lessens the like echo or reverb on that person. So it can turn down the reflections of the drums or the bass or the guitar. You just drop it down over them. It's so cool, man.
Wait, is it like a tube?
No, it's like a pad. It's flat.
Okay, so it's just a flat cushion. Okay.
And it literally comes down. I was
thinking of, like, you know, Mr. Burns has one of those, like, tubes that he, like...
No, a tube would make it different, but it wouldn't lessen reflections at all.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And I don't even know if it would make it different, but I think it might.
No, that sounds right.
Yeah.
I didn't mean, like, necessarily a tube. I just meant it comes down from the ceiling, and then it's, like...
Yeah. So Magma was recorded by Gojira in that... Oh, yeah, that's fine. We can talk about Magma. It was recorded in that studio by Gojira and actually mostly mixed by Joe before it got handed off for the main mix and master. And some of the album was actually recorded in L.A., while most of it was recorded in their studio in New York. So, segue into Magma right there. All right, so Magma is my second, not that this podcast, in my opinion, what am I saying? Not that this podcast is about my opinion, but it's my second favorite album by them.
I think this whole thing is about your opinion.
Is it? I thought it was about me just blatantly reading a Wikipedia article.
Yeah, but you get to say, you know, what you think.
Yeah, okay. This podcast is about enjoying the fun between us, right? So, sure. In an interview conducted in February 2015 with AMHTV, Mario said that the band was working on a new album, referring to Magma. So, in further speaking with them, he went on to say that they spent 2 months composing new things, new songs, and they felt very optimistic about the future. Funny thing about that is, they ended up writing like 25 songs for the album, and then throwing out like, you know, the remainder.
Yeah.
Which was the opposite of how they usually work on things. Usually, they have their songs, they stick with them, you know what I mean, they perfect them.
25, that's so many.
It's so hard to throw.
Especially for a band like that.
Do you know how hard it is to throw a song out? Dude.
Just do a double album.
Yeah, well, the good thing is they have all those songs in the back burner for older and too tired to write another album. They have a contract and need to release another one.
Yeah.
Basically how that works. But I wouldn't even be sad. Like, Gojira makes an album of all their recycled songs. I want to hear that shit. I want to know what they haven't released.
Yeah, I'm sure most fans would.
Yeah. Yeah, this band hits me real good. It's like a more mature Tool. Like, it hits me the way Tool does, but it's kind of a more mature sound to me.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
A lot of the droning sounds, like there's always one note, like, being held throughout many songs. That's a Tool thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just kind of hit me a little better. And a lot of people hate when a metal screamer goes from screaming to singing.
But, I do.
Yeah, but in this case, I found it was actually way more mature. It made the music better. That's just me, though. Just saying. I didn't like it when Opeth did it. Opeth should have kept screaming.
Yeah, I don't like Opeth.
Yeah. But yeah, they basically said they wanted to make the strongest album they could. And I'm glad that they went that direction, you know? It's brave in the metal scene, especially when you're starting to skyrocket. It's like, it's really fearless to change your sound when you're going up.
Especially because of the metal scene, because it's the pickiest.
It's so elitist, yeah.
Yeah, very elitist.
Yeah, I made a post about it the other day. And it got a lot of momentum.
Hmm.
Just a joke about, it was basically a joke about a metal guitar player calling someone out for talking about how much they love a basic musical concept. But ultimately, the person who thinks they're cool because the concept is basic and they think it's basic. Does that make sense? That was the premise.
Yeah, so they think it's cool because it's basic. Is that what you meant?
No, they think they're cool because they can do things better than that. And they think you're stupid because you like something that's basic.
Oh, whoa, what a dick.
Oh, it's so common, dude.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But whatever, you know. It's not just, you can say, oh, the metal scene this, or oh, this scene that. It's just there's assholes everywhere, you know?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just the metal scene in particular, like, especially, like, when I was living in Vancouver, like...
It has a higher rate of...
Groups of people together.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then, yeah, exactly. You have, like... This is why the metal scene is really weird for me, because I've always been able to kind of just go from group to group.
Right.
And then you go, like, to a grindcore show... And then you go to, say, like, a modern metal show, which is more progressive metal or something. Not only is it two totally different groups of people, but they don't like each other because it's a different scene. It's so stupid.
Or there's, like, one...
What are you, in like, high school, dude?
Yeah. Well, that's... High school is the rest of your life, essentially.
If you're in a scene like that, sure.
Well, I think that you just become more savvy and you're able to navigate it a lot better.
Maybe. Interesting.
Groups of people are like that.
People are tribal, yeah. Yeah, it keeps happening, yeah. You're right, the tribal thing. And no matter where I go, I'm from Newfoundland, now I'm in BC, one coast to the other, coastal BC. It's the same everywhere. It really is. Different labels, different types of groups, but it's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never get it. Like, I'm this way, and that's why I'm awesome. And you're that way, and that's why I'm better than you. I will never, ever understand that.
I went through a little bit of that in my, like, late teens, early 20s.
Dude, that's like 14-year-old mentality. That's what it is.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. I was such, like, an outcast in high school when...
Yeah, it's almost like a defense mechanism or something,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and, you know, you find, like, a little niche where, like, you know more than somebody else. You're, like, on your
right, and then it... Right, so then you're kind of, like, securing... You're, like, patting yourself on the back, coddling yourself. Exactly, yeah, no, I understand that. Because it relieves the anxiety of feeling incompetent or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I...
The same reason people look at other people and go, oh, you idiot.
Yeah, and then I became more empathetic, and so that I didn't have that kind of strong reaction to people much longer.
All right, back to Gojira. That was actually awesome, but back to Gojira. So the brothers, Joe and Mario, their mom died during the recording process of Magma, which greatly affected the songwriting. In April of 2015, the band had finally finished construction of the New York studio, Silvercord Studio. 10 days into recording is actually when they learned she had fallen ill, and they put the recording session on hold.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course. So, in 2016, they posted a video on their YouTube page announcing the new album, and that it would be out in the spring. On that same month, Rolling Stone named the album their sixth most anticipated album of 2016, which is very impressive for, like, a weird progressive metal band.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially for Rolling Stone.
Yeah. And in April, they released a 30-second video teaser confirming that the album would be titled Magma and would be released on the 17th of June in 2016 through Roadrunner Records. So the first song they released... was Stranded with a video directed by Vincent Caldoni on 20th of May 2016, and a second song, Silvera. And Silvera, that's where I was introduced to the band by the singer of the last band I was in, Ashton. And if you hear this, hey buddy, he is actually the person who showed me Gojira. It started with Silvera, then he showed me Lowlands, and he worked his way backwards into the heavier stuff.
A good friend.
I liked it all. Yeah, Ashton's the man. So the music video for Gojira was directed by Drew Cox. I don't know who that is. Mr. Andrew Coxsucker. So yeah, Magma was strongly received not only by the general metal community, but also by critics, which is pretty rare, really, to hit that group. Like, there's so many bands that can get memed easily, made fun of, even though people like them. Gojira is not that. Like, there's no memes making fun of Gojira. Like, Gojira has a good reputation, like, in the fan base, you know, social media. Like, everybody loves them.
Right.
Yeah. They're the opposite of Nickelback. Literally. Like, okay. Nobody...
No, that's good.
Nobody listens to Gojira for the same reasons that people listen to Nickelback. And
right.
Yeah, they're the polar opposites. And I don't like Nickelback, but I'm not hating on them right now even. But as funny as it may be, that's very true.
Well, you either love Nickelback or you hate them, so.
Yeah. My dad's brother, when I was pretty, not that young, like maybe 19 or 20, sent me a Nickelback shirt signed by all the band members.
Ooh.
I don't even know where that is. I probably could have sold that for some money. But
yeah.
I wore it once. And when I was that age, I was hanging out with only musicians like myself.
Yeah.
And not metalheads even. They were all like Beatles and whatever. But I got mocked that one day. They were like, what are you doing? I was like, I know, okay. I'm just doing laundry.
You're like it's ironic.
No, I was like... This was right before that was cool to be a hipster, ironic. Okay. But I wasn't. I was like, literally, we lived at this town where everyone would come over to our house to kind of smoke weed and watch movies and hang out, right?
Yeah.
We had the house to hang out. And people would just show up without calling. That's what we had going on. Newfoundland is different too, right?
Yeah, it
you
totally
just show
is.
Up at people's houses. And they're like, hey, come on in, what can I, coffee, whatever. And if you, especially if you're potheads, it's like, oh, well, fuck. You're here for 8 hours. Let's hang out.
Yeah.
Let's watch a series. Yeah, so anyways, off our tangent here. So it got a lot of really good reception from the critics and the metal community. And also, not just the fan base, but other bands as well. Every time Gojira works with somebody, they're like, I'm so honored you're here, or I'm so honored to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's like that. And I think it's because they're very, there's not one interview or one, like, social media interaction or post where you cringe or you feel like they're being douchebags. They're just so humble, so well-spoken for people who can't even really speak English that well.
Yeah.
And the themes of their music are really mature and not, like, as much as I love, like, the dark, like, Satan, weird metal thing, like, it's fun and fantastical.
Yeah.
It's really nice to have a band writing about the toxic garbage island in the middle of the ocean. Or, like, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, there's a place for all of it, right?
Yeah. So they scored a 79 on Metacritic. I don't know how hard that is, because I don't even know what Metacritic is.
Some hard,
and
hitting research here.
Yeah. 100% unplagiarized. My research.
This is my favorite band. Copy-paste.
You know what's funny? Is if it's a band that I don't know as well, I will write it myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm not as confident. I admit, I was overconfident about this. And it made it less of a quality podcast for the listeners, because there's actually a good percentage of this where I'm not rewording it. There's a good percentage where I am.
I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you. And although it's nice you said that, I don't need that.
Sure. No. I'm just...
Thank you. So anyways, the whole point of this paragraph that I'm not going to read here is that they were confident to step into a point where the music wasn't as extreme and was maybe more digestible by a larger audience, but that's not why they did it. So that's why he's okay with it. He said, actually, on L'Enfant Sauvage, he tried to up the singing, but it was really challenging, so he got scared and went back.
Right.
And then in Magma, he's like, I'm going to fucking do this. And he did. Magma's crazy, the singing. Anyways, back to the touring. They ended up touring with Tesseract. Do you know who that is?
Nope.
No.
I know what it is, though.
Yeah? Yeah, from the Marvel? Yeah. But Tesseract is just this really great progressive metal band. Super talented, and them and Gojira are on the same tour. I would love to see. The only thing you would not like about Tesseract is the singing.
Ugh. I don't like that.
I don't like it either, but the music is so good. Yeah, and they've toured with bands like Alter Bridge, Volbeat. Do you know Volbeat?
Nope.
No. Okay, and Like a Storm. I do not know Like a Storm. All right, back near the beginning, I said I would come back to nominations, and here we are. So Gojira were nominated for 2 Grammy Awards in 2016. Magma was nominated for Best Rock Album, and his second single, Silvera, was nominated for Best Metal Performance. They did not win, but still, whatever. That's awesome. They played as a supporting act on Metallica's U.S. Worldwide Tour in the summer of 2017, along with the extremely annoying, irrelevant Avenged Sevenfold.
How are they still a thing?
God, I don't know, man. Like, I guess they're appealing to 14-year-olds. And Volbeat.
Ugh.
They did a U.S. tour in 2017 also with Converge, Code Orange, Pallbearer, Oni, and Torch. Do you know any of those bands?
I know Pallbearer and Converge.
I don't know either of those. Okay, what style is Converge?
I would honestly... Metal's hard for me. I don't know how to put them
I don't know what any... I've never heard of any of those bands. Am I just a boomer?
Well, you're not a boomer, but...
No, boomer's mentality, baby.
No, I understand that. but you're not a boomer. It's just that Converge and Pallbearer, they're bands that I have listened to, but I don't know... Metal to me is like, I listen to this, I'm like, oh, this is metal. And people are like, this is power metal. This is power violence. This is And I don't know how to do that with mm-hmm. metal bands, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Progressive, I guess?
Yeah. I don't know. All right, so going on to the influences that Gojira have had, according to them, it's Godflesh, Slayer, Sepultura, Death, Morbid Angel, Meshuggah, Tool, Metallica, Pantera, and Neurosis.
Ooh.
And when you actually hear them, you go, oh, that makes a lot of sense. The Meshuggah is like a lot of the heavy progressive stuff and the groovy. Like, Meshuggah is a band people will call groove metal.
Mike Patton likes them.
Mike Patton likes Meshuggah?
Yeah.
I have a whole newfound respect for Mike Patton. He was like a 5 out of 10 for me. What? Him himself, yes. What's the cool band that he's in?
Mr. Bungle?
Yeah. I love that. But...
Yeah, Mr. Bungle's dope.
So, Meshuggah, not surprised. I mean, they're one of the biggest influences on most of my favorite bands. Tool, not surprised. I even said they have a similar thing going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Metallica, obviously. Pantera, they said that was mostly for Magma, the new stuff. Because it's less fast and it's more groovy or whatever. I'm surprised Lamb of God's not in there, but I'm sure, you know, that they like Lamb of God. And although most people do refer to Gojira as a technical death metal band, they're well known for blending styles of progressive metal, technical metal, thrash metal, death metal, groove metal, and they have really high quality mixes. Goes from super hardcore with blast beats to like super atmospheric and nice and slow. Their lyrics tackle themes of life, death, rebirth, spirituality, and nature. And in particular, their 2005 album From Mars to Sirius is a concept album tackling environmental issues and broader themes of life, death, and rebirth. By the way,
uh-huh.
that album, From Mars to Sirius, flying wheels!
Oh, that has flying wheels on it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
I was wondering.
I love it. That's my first favorite album from Mars to Sirius.
That song is very, very good.
Yes. Yes, it is. And it has The Art of Dying on it, I'm pretty sure. Also a crazy song. We listened to that. You were in the bathroom, maybe, but it was on.
Okay, it was on.
When you were in the bathroom.
There was nothing I didn't like when we were listening to them.
Yeah. I remember the first time I put them on in the truck, and you're like, I don't really like this kind of music, like progressive metal or whatever.
Yeah. But
then you're like, wait a minute, this is actually really good.
Yeah, like, well, that song in particular is very good.
Yeah, Gojira, I actually loved them the first time I heard them, but it still took a while for the sound for me to understand it or something. Like,
right.
Now it gives me goosebumps, so.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I get that a lot with music, right? That's why I'm so into it.
I like it with certain artists.
Oh, me too. And then I'm stuck. That's why I listen to like 5 artists at a time.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to do.
Right now it's like Queens of the Stone Age. It literally what we're doing our podcast about, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
All those bands that we've done, except for Billie Eilish.
Is that lame? Are we lame?
Maybe. I don't care. But Billie Eilish does not give me that goosebumpy feeling. I'm just into... what she's doing, and I think that's dope, but every other podcast we've done basically is like something that gave me goosebumps, and that's why I was like, let's do that band. Yeah, so the one award won by the band that I know of was a Loudwire Music Award, and in 2017 Mario Duplantier won Best Drummer, and of course,
yeah, he's awesome,
a machine. When I was showing Cleo this band, she was like, is that a drum machine? Or, and I went, no. Actually, that's like some of the least edited drums, like in metal. Like, that's mostly straight up that guy and how he sounds.
Yeah, I honestly was like very convinced it was a drum machine.
Yeah, they're one of the few bands that not every song is recorded to a grid because they're just so tight together that if a band is super tight, it's better not to record to a grid, like to have it all edited in on a computer.
Okay.
If a band plays really well together, it's better to leave it because you have the original like energy of the jam or whatever. And that's, you have to be a really good band to be able to do that. I saw like the producer opening up the tracks and he was like mind blown. He was like, there's no guitar editing. He was like, what the fuck? He like couldn't believe it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They were so tight. And no offense to Arcspire, but I watched on the same YouTube channel, the producer, how he did the Arcspire stuff, and it's chopped perfectly. Everything's perfectly chopped and edited right to the grid, like, after the recording. And it's just a style thing, too, right? With that kind of death metal, that's way more common.
Right.
Like the tech metal or whatever.
Tech metal.
But I saw Arcspire live 3 nights in a row. They can play it, man. So as long as you can play it live, it's not so bad. But I love music. All my favorite bands don't play to the grid. If you listen to Queens of the Stone Age Song for the Deaf and a Song for the Dead, the hi-hat is not perfectly in time with that guitar in the intro. And it fucking rocks.
Right. You know?
So it doesn't. Things don't always have to be edited like perfectly. And Gojira is a good example of that as well. So Joe Duplantier, also plays bass guitar in Cavalier Conspiracy, a band formed by members of Sepultura, Max and Igor.
And, Max and Igor.
Yes. So there's your connection to Mike Patton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy, these guys.
Yeah.
Wow. Small world. And in March 2008, they actually did a tour. I don't know if they released anything else, but the Duplantier brothers also formed an avant-garde band called Ampelot, and I have not heard that yet at all. But there you go. That's the episode, man. I'm pretty sure. Thanks for listening. If you like us, please donate to paypal.me/feedthemusician. Stop laughing.
Can't help it.
We need our microphone stand is a mug. That's what we're using right now.
I know.
Two people, one microphone, no camera. If they like us, if they want more, 50 cents, $1.
Don't feel like you have to do it.
And you know what? You know what's even better? Because of this episode? Donate to Wikipedia.
Yeah. Do it. Donate to Wikipedia, absolutely. Yeah. Because
you should donate to Wikipedia.
Without it, Carrie would not have anything.
Oh, I hate you. You should donate to Wikipedia, actually. Do not donate to us. Because this episode, I pretty much copied and pasted a bunch of Wikipedia shit. And that's what it is. At least I'm honest, and it's all good. But
No. You had a bunch of good ad-libs, for sure.
It's a good thing I'm hard on myself, because if I listen to you, I would never get anything done.
That's not true.
No, it's great that you're supportive, but you're so nice.